हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनाभुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Okay, so then continuing with the Satriya Sardipika, then now we're on, we finished the Mangalacharan, you know, and then now we're on the Adivas. So this is a continuing preliminary procedures. So this is called pleasing the Lord with auspicious offerings. So Adivas is an offering of auspicious articles, usually performed on the night preceding the Samskar. Right? So then whenever the day is you're going to do that Samskar, that's done on that day because you picked that particular time. But depending on what it is, it might be early, it might be some other time. So therefore the Adivas is done the evening before. That way it doesn't conflict with any timings of the program, because to be able to do all these things within the same muhurta might not work nicely because it takes so much time. And also then by doing something evening before, it already starts the mood of what's happening. So that whole kind of mood of festivities, that mood of, you know, doing things, you know, rituals and connected to the Lord, and that whole idea of, you know, being pure and having the right consciousness. By starting it the night before, then you're already doing something. Then you go to sleep, and then in the morning when you get up, you're already in that kind of mood. So then it's not like you wake up in the morning and remember, oh, today's the Samskar. It's already started the day before. First, one should do Achman, Mangalacharan, page 62, Swastivachana, Sankalpa, and Gatstapana. The auspicious articles used in the Adivas are earth, stone, paddy, durva, flowers, fruit, yogurt, ghee. Swastika, sindura, conch, cudgel, gorochana, white mustard seeds, gold, silver, copper, lamp, myrrh, fragrant oil, turmeric, cloth, thread, chamara, and chandana. And then in the footnote, while saying the appropriate mantra, touch each item to the ghat, the pot in which the deity has been installed, or if the deity is present, first touch the lotus feet and then to the ghat, then to the earth, and finally to the heads of the beneficiaries of the rites. So in this example, then, it's the example is the bride and groom, the Samskar's marriage. After presenting all the items, gather them together on a tray and present them before the deity, the god, and the beneficiaries, right? So each one is separately offered one by one. And then after that offering, they're all kept on a very large plate so that all of them together then are shown to the Lord, shown to the pot, the earth, and then to the beneficiaries. So here is that if you don't have deities present, then the ghat itself, the pot itself, then is the deity because you've installed the deities. And then by touching the pot, then the earth, because Bhumi Devi is, you know, the shelter of all the living entities, and that, and then offer to whoever's, you know, getting benefit here. Just like in the Artik, in the tradition, then you'd be offering to everybody, and then Tulsi, then you would offer to the earth, and then offer to everybody in the, you know, to the assembled Vaishnavas as considered as the, you know, associates or the living entities of the Shakti of the Lord. So the earth is always involved in this. Just like when you're sitting, the asan represents the earth. So then there's the puja there. We'll see that later when we get into the in the Pancharatra Pradeep. Okay. So these are all considered, you know, I say auspicious items. If the Adivas cannot be done at this time, it should be performed on the morning of the ceremony, before the Satrika Vridhi Shraddha. That's the next, you know, one of the next things coming up. So there's so many things that you can do in the preliminary activities to create the right mood and create an auspicious environment. So from the earth, so earth from the Ganga, then the mantra here, you are the earth, supporter of the worlds, the supporter of the universe, sustaining everything. Control the earth, make the earth firm, do not harm the earth. Right? So the earth is supporting the three worlds, because here what goes on in this place, in Bharatvarsha, then that's what is giving the effect throughout the universe. So all the maintenance of the universe and all that is according to what's the quality of what goes on the earth planet. So if the kings are pious, they're doing the yajnas, the people are pious, and all that, then all these yajnas and all that, then they nourish the demigods, the whole universe. And if people are sinful and all that, then it makes it a tough time in the universe. So when it's auspicious here, then it becomes more nice there. And when it's not so nice here, then it's not so great there. Right? Like that. Yeah. So, yeah. So then, yeah. So one doesn't harm the earth, you know. So in other words, the earth is always engaged in the Lord's service. You just don't do whatever you like. So then Gandha. By Gandha, you become protected, continually nourished, and abound in purity, wealth, and beauty, and prosperity. I call you here. So, because it means what's offered to the Lord, like this, these different fragrances and all that, because it would be as you have the, you know, just as earth is the basis from what everything is made, even all the bodies are made, you know, buildings, any situation you're in, it's made of earth, and then combined with other things to bring out the elements here. Then here you see Gandha will have that element of water and earth, but it's bringing out the fragrance of the earth. So that then makes all the, what is the nice element of the earth. And then that then keeps one, in an auspicious state like that, because you have the aspect is that you have the element of rasa, of interaction with others. So if it has that sweet fragrance and all that, then that means that it's going to be nice relationships. So because of that, then there'll be all these other things, the purity, wealth, beauty, prosperity, all come because of that, the quality of relationships. Note, Gandha may be mixed with other fragrances like musk, agaru, saffron, camphor, etc. Right? So Gandha here would be the sandalwood paste, because that's the meaning of Gandha, is the sandalwood paste, and then so many other things can be mixed with it to make it a very nice presentation. Stone. The streams of water pour spontaneously from the mountain like the hump of the bull. They stream downwards, flowing onwards. After Adibhutunya, you are the lifting of Vishnu's foot. You are the movement of Vishnu's foot. You are Vishnu's step. So these are all Vedic verses. And so you'll notice in here it has a very unique kind of poetry, is that it's means the different words, and that will be connected by their grammar, but it's not necessarily that they rhyme. But what is here is that they're talking about something in a very poetic way. So it's not that the words themselves are the rhyming aspect they give it. The words, what they're saying, are poetic and match each other and all that. That's the main thing. And you see here is that they are also combined with all the elements of the culture, the philosophy, all these things. So it's not just that. It's just giving some sentiment or thing like that. It's talking about all that together. Like people, you see, people want things to be auspicious. People want things to be prosperous, but at the same time is that it has to be connected to the Lord. It has to be with knowledge, has to be with good character, all these things. So it's a complete package. It's not just a sentimental expression of an emotion. It includes that emotion with the environment, with the intelligence, with the consciousness, with our relationship with the Supreme Lord. So we see here is that the streams, they flow from the mountain like the hump of the bull. So then the there is that we see is that the bull represents Dharma. The hump of the bull is also then considered the Shiva Linga. is that so representing Lord Shiva? So then you have the greatest Vaishnava, and then who is then dealing with the material energy, controlling the material energy. So then the point is that these relationships and all that we have, being in that context, that we're seeing it freed from the idea that I'm in control and enjoy, our relationships are based on that. From that, then everything goes nicely. Then you see the aspect of the pastimes and all that, the Lord's lifting of Vishnu's foot, the movement of Vishnu's foot and the step. And so we see here, it's also going to be in one aspect relating to Vamana Dev and how, you know, the pastime of how he took the three steps and all that. And it removes all obstacles. You know, because like a stone, we consider an obstacle, but when you see it in the context of lore, what the stone is representing, then there's no obstacle. That's the point, is that so many things to be obstacles, but would see in the context of the Lord, they're not obstacles. Rice paddy. So that means the rice that's in the husk. You know, it's not unhusked like what we cook for eating. You are grain. Please the Lord. Please the sacrifice and the performer of sacrifice. Bring happiness to me as I conduct this sacrifice. Right. So then the offerings of grain into the fire, you know, here I mean the ghee, everything, but grains is one of them. And so the point is that it's grain, it's the source of grain, because paddy you don't offer into the fire, but the grain is offered like that. And so it means it's going to create the auspicious environment around as the source of the grain, as the source of nourishment and everything like that. So from the sacrifice comes nourishment. So we saw is that you're going to get all that, as we discussed before about the ghee, the yogurt, all these things come from the yajna. Means you're performing yajna, these things are there. So we can see it's harder to get ghee and milk and this. That's because there's less and less yajna. So the more yajna that goes on, the more these things are available. So you see is that places where we're preaching, places where people are interested in the Vedic culture, then they're still maintaining the cows, they're still maintaining the yajna, doing these their duties. And in this way, then you see is that these things are available. But where they're not, then these things are disappearing. You know. And being happy, unless the Lord's happy, how will we become happy? Right? So that means, may I also deal in such a way you are pleasing the Lord, so that I may, in assisting you in this way, please the Lord. Durva. Durva grass. Piece by piece, joint by joint, Durva grass, you manifest offspring. Give us offspring, 100, 1,000. Right? So just by one, because the grass grows, the one little grows, and then off another point grows off of that, and then another one off of that. So they grow in this zigzag kind of shape. And so then piece by piece, joint by joint, things are expanding and all that. So we understand this piece by piece, step by step, like that, things are expanding. It's not that all at once you get, no, it's just by that steady steps that we're always moving forward in Krishna consciousness, performing our duties, that everything becomes very nice, right? Flowers. Piety and prosperity are your consorts. Day and night are your sides. The stars are your form. The heaven and earth are your open mouth. Bestow what we desire. Bestow the goal in this world. Bestow the highest goal. Right? So what we desire, the goal of this world, and the highest goal. So the whole point of the highest goal will be the service to the Lord in a relationship. Bestow the goal of this world is to become freed from entanglement in this world. Right? The idea of the working within the world is to get out of the world. That's the whole idea. And then what we desire, that whatever facilities we're using in the Krishna service, and that, and may our desire be for that upliftment of that spiritual life, like that. And so all these different aspects that we see are connected with the relationship with the Lord. You know, piety, prosperity, day, night, the stars, all these different aspects then are seen in their relationship with how they assist and how they deal with fulfilling this desire. So that's through serving the Lord and then offering flowers. That's one of Krishna's favorite things. Of the offerings of the 16 items are one of the main items means he appreciates flowers more than ornaments. Fruit, may that power that produces the fruit free us from all difficulties. Right? So then Krishna, through his potency, then he makes everything work. You know, from that the fruits are produced, being produced, the flowers are blooming, the, you know, all this, so that we see through mantras and the Lord of the mantra. You know, chant that in English, so that, and so, and, you know, be given up all difficulties, because difficulties come when we see whatever we're doing not connected to Krishna. So when we see it connected to Krishna, then we don't have a problem, right? Because whatever it is we're doing, the potency that makes all that work is coming from Krishna, right? So we're seeing here is that the fruit then embodies that, because all that comes together, you know, the earth, the, you know, the endeavor they make, the planting, the tree growing, finally then blooming and then giving the fruits. So it's that process, that whole thing of seeing everything connected to the Lord, that removes all difficulties. Yogurt. I offer myself unto the Lord, who gave himself to the gopis of Braja in exchange for yogurt, the killer of the horse demon, who is swift, who gives fragrance to the face. Let him increase our lifespan. Okay, that's interesting. Dadi Kravno, Akarisham Jishnor Avashya Vajinaha. Yeah, okay. So this one's used a lot. I think they use this also in connection with Ganesh, like that. So here's that, you know, the Krishna then interacts with the gopis and all that. Then we see is that that gives fragrance, because he sees that there's that pastime of I think as someone said about, you know, Krishna had taken the butter or taken the yogurt, I think. And that, and so then there's a discussion on who has taken this. And Krishna said, I didn't. And then there's a verse that's in Nectar Devotion, where it's then being described as Krishna's turning to, I'm not sure who, but someone, maybe to Purnamasi or something, and asking, why is this girl so close to my face, you know, sniffing me, right? So Radharani came over to sniff for yogurt, the smell of yogurt, like that. And Krishna was like worried, because he had said, no, he hadn't taken the yogurt. And so then like that. So it gives, you know, that these kind of things. So all these things, you know, have that, they're working, as you see, is this one that is giving more directly the connection, and the other ones, then they do those, but also if you know more, then you can take it farther, like that, depending on how much you want to give the understanding, how you take to. So the Brahman aspect, the Paramatma aspect, and the Bhagavan aspect, and these are all going to be discussed, some feature of it, in some way, in the Vedic mantras. They're not coming from anything else. They're the breathing of the Lord. And so then these are naturally then what he thinks about. But because his breath gives life to everything, therefore it also contains all the elements that everything else in the cosmos has. Ghee. The broad earth flows with ghee, which is sweet-smelling, beautiful, and brings prosperity to the worlds. The heavens and the earth, through the law of the Lord, are abounding in unlimited seed in all places. Right? So the ghee is giving the essence and all that. And from that, then you're going to be used in the sacrifice. That will make it very nice for everyone, the heavens and the earth. And from that, then all living entities become prosperous. So then the ghee, then being the offering, and the ghee then being, you know, what's honored as the results from the offering, all this then makes, you know, the humans successful. And by doing that, then also then the demigods and all living entities, you know, on whatever platform, everything becomes auspicious because of the use of ghee. Swastikam. May Govinda, Achyuta, Ananta, Vasudev, and Vishnu give us auspiciousness. May Naranarayan, Padmanabha, and Purushottama give us auspiciousness. May Vishvakshena, the Lord of the world, Rishikesha, and Hari give us auspiciousness. May Garuda and the great devotee Hanuman, son of Anjana, give us auspiciousness. May the great auspicious Lord Krishna, who is like a transcendental rain cloud full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, give all prosperity and auspiciousness. Right? So prosperity means that one is absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Like it's the wealth of the Brahmins, is that that renunciation, that knowledge, that understanding how everything connects to the Lord and seeing everything and performing everything in that context. And that then creates all the auspiciousness. And so if one's always in that frame of mind and that auspiciousness is there, then you perform these wonderful activities, all in relationship to the Lord. So that makes everything perfect. Then, so two mantras for swastikam. May Indra, who hears much praise, give us auspiciousness. May the sun god, who knows all things, give us auspiciousness. May Garuda, with unblemished weapons, give us auspiciousness. May Brihaspati give us auspiciousness. Right, so then Indra, the Lord of the worlds, then he represents that aspect of sovereignty and all that. The sun, then he's also the Lord of the whole things. Everyone follows him, and he's the Lord of that aspect of the Kshatriya nature. Then Garuda, then he's the Lord King of birds, and he's never defeated in battle. Brihaspati, he's like the head of the Brahmins. So he sees that all these different things, the head of the demigods, the head of the planets, the head of the birds and all these kind of living entities, and Brihaspati, the head of the Brahmins, may they give us auspiciousness. Then a note, a swastika made of silver or a swastika drawn in kumkuma on a silver plate is used. So if you have one, then you can use it for whenever you do these pujas, because adivasas are regularly done. And if not, you can have a small plate, either a little silver plate or a little nice brass plate or a bell metal plate or some nice plate, like that. And you sprinkle some kumkuma on that. And then on that, then you draw your swastika. Then that plate is what's used for the offering and all that. So any of these things will work very nicely. So it doesn't matter the size; it can be a very small plate, whatever. But if your swastika is made of silver or something like that, then you should be careful that it doesn't get lost when all the items of the adivas, are taken away by, somebody like that. Sindura, kumkuma, flashing like the sun, like streams of rushing water, strong and full of life, the streams of ghee fall upon the fire, like fast steeds carrying the offering, breaking through all obstacles, the ghee swells in waves, dissolving the wood. Right? So we'll see this come up also then in the Sindur Danam in the marriage ceremony. So flashing like the sun, because it comes from, has that element, fire then makes the kumkum work. That's the aspect of it. Kumkum is taking turmeric and then it's treated, I think, with lime and some other processes, and then it turns red. Then you grind it and then you get the powder. So that's the original kumkum will be done in that way. And then flashing the sun being the prominent, being the knowledge, being the light, streams of rushing water, then we know is like the interactions that have come from the relationships and all that, strong, full of life, that they're, committed based on the platform of goodness, they're placed on the platform of duty, they're full of life, there's commitment to these activities, like streams, the streams of ghee fall in the fire, so therefore then offerings to the Lord is being made. And then like these things that these quickly then carry, give the results, they carry these things to the Lord. And then through that worship of the Lord, then all obstacles overcome, and then the ghee swells in waves, dissolving the wood. So the wood then is what's, you know, burning up what's left of our material connections, material desires, material absorption, and the, you know, like that. This is all removed by the sacrifice of always doing everything in relationship to the Lord and all relationships that you have in relationship to the Lord. Kanch. For the echo of a reviler, or for noise, for the echo, a reviler, for noise, a snarler, for the end, a very talkative man, for endless, a mute, for sound, a drummer, for might, a musician, for cry, a flute player, for a confused tone, a conch blower, for the wood, a forester, for partly wooded land, a forest, part wood land, a forest fire guard. Right. So then, yeah, then, let me say. Yeah, so these then have their elements where they reflect what is there. For a reviler, then that echo, that it keeps going on and on and on and never ends. Because he says here, a snarler, a noise is a snarl. It means someone snarls, that's, you know, makes a noise, but that's it. But a reviler is one who keeps on going. It just echoes and keeps going. Like that, for the end, a very talkative man. In other words, people are too talkative. You just want to get up and leave, right? For endless, a mute, because, you know, the endless, the unlimited, you can only, if nothing is said. For sound, a drummer. So the drum gives, you know, the sound that catches attention. You hear a drum, you know, so many sounds, but a drum that makes, you know, a nice sound. For might, a musician, because of the music, is that how it swells, how it is, it gives that strength, it gives all those things. For a cry, a flute player, so the flute can bring out all those very nice emotions and everything. For a confused tone, a conch blower, because then it blows away all inauspiciousness. The conch is removing, you know, any inauspicious elements. So confusion is then the mode of ignorance. For wood, a forester, you know, so the forester then, you know, either is collecting the wood, bringing the wood, it's being used in its proper way. Partly wooded land, a forest fire guard. So then how he then sees that, you know, nothing goes wrong, that there's nothing, no fires and all that. So all these different elements and we see is that they all come up, but basically it is all these can be made auspicious by the sound of the conch shell. You know, the conch shell then represents knowledge, as we see is that Dhruva Maharaj, when he then saw the Lord after his meditation, the Lord Prishnagarbha appeared. Then he didn't, because he's a little kid, he wasn't trained yet, so he didn't know how to offer prayers. So the Lord touched his head with the conch shell. Then he could give all nice prayers and everything like that. Kajal, kaliduram, you know, the black around the, that you put around the eyes. This anjana, offering of ghee, flaming, a storehouse of intelligence and guidance, sweet and fragrant, is swelling in the fire. As a horse carries a rider, the fire carries our offering to the place of eternal pleasure. Right, so then the place of eternal pleasure is to the Lord in his pastimes in the spiritual realm, right? For the personalists, they'll think that's Brahman, or the yogis will think that that's, you know, the Lord in the heart, you know, Kiradakshai Vishnu, or the karmis will think it will be the heavenly planets. So, like this is that when we're making these offerings, when we're doing these service to the Lord, offering the ghee or the essence, you know, seeing that, then, you know, it gives the thing that gives the flaming, gives the enthusiasm, that when we see, we make the sacrifice, we make that, we're enthused, we're inspired. Intelligence is the storehouse of knowledge. From sacrifice becomes knowledge, right? Manana means I'm taking the knowledge that I've heard. I don't have any doubts, but I don't understand it yet. Right? We generally take it when doubts are cleared, I understand. Now, understand means that you know how to use it. So then, and you see, yes, how it does and what it's what its worth is. Realization means now you value it. Right? So then manana means I'll take it, I'll apply that knowledge. And in that practice of application, I start to get an understanding of what it means, and I start to contemplate that. Then with more understanding, I apply again, and then it get even better results, and I get more understanding, and this way it goes on. So that's the whole idea. So, you know, you have also here is the gopis, then that cudgel, it's said that their eyes are black with cudgel from looking at Krishna and taking Krishna into their eyes, that leaves that black line around their eyes. So that absorption in Krishna, so it carries the offering to the eternal pleasure, to Krishna in his pastimes. The place of eternal pleasure means that the spiritual realm, and eternal pleasure means it has to be, it's based on prema, and that's going to be then the interaction between the Lord and the devotees, right? So one should always be seeing the Lord. Rochana. Those who link themselves to the Supreme Lord, strong as a horse, bright like the sun traveling through the sky, shine in the same manner in the eternal sky. Right? So horse is very, you know, has that element of beauty. It's the main thing. It's very strong. Has all these, you know, nice opulences and everything like that. So the Supreme Lord, who has all these good qualities, just like the sun who, you know, reveals everything and removes all darkness and all that, right? Then the devotee will shine in the same manner in this eternal sky because they link themselves with the Supreme Lord. So those connected with the Lord develop all those nice qualities of the Lord. Like we saw the 50 qualities that are common between the Lord and the living entities. Those are the basis of pastimes, basis of interaction. Then we see is that the next 10 qualities, these are ones that are, you know, beyond, more about his godness rather than his, how he's the person, you know. And so these have a place in the relationship as a basis of relationship for those who appreciate the majesty. And so these 50 qualities of themselves and these 10, you know, that are shared, and then the Lord with those 10 qualities of majesty, then brings out why then they're inspired to worship him. But then for the devotees in Vrindavan, then those four qualities that Krishna has, that's beyond what Lord Vishnu has, then they're the basis of Krishna's qualities, that the devotees interact based with the Lord with the 50 qualities. So in other words, their inspiration of sweetness is the four qualities, and the inspiration for majesty are those 10 qualities. White mustard seeds. And so therefore the devotees have the same qualities like the Lord, you know, in an appropriate amount and qualities for interacting with the Lord in the pastimes based on their affection for him. White mustard seeds. O killer of demons, O voice of Vishnu that destroys evil spirits. I now destroy any evil magic that any stranger or near one has buried to do me harm. I now destroy any evil magic buried for me by anyone equal to me or unequal to me. I now destroy any evil charm that has been buried for me by any relative or non-relative. I cast out that magic spell. Because the white mustard seeds are used whenever you do purifying a place and removing any auspicious elements there. You do have a part when you're doing the installation ceremony where I have a bowl, generally, like a clay, nice clay bowl or a nice bowl. It has white mustard seeds in it, and then it has also neem leaves. And so that then is touched to the head after dressing and all that. I think before the artik and before the dupe and deep and Ayurveda, then this is touched to the Lord's head to remove anything inauspicious. And also then when you're doing a Griha Pravesh, then someone's throwing white mustard seeds around the place when you go around. So the whole idea is that by taking shelter of the Lord, and then, you know, hearing what the Lord says, then that the voice, it distributes all the evil spells. And so therefore, where anything that, for whatever it's coming from, whether it's coming from a stranger or near one is done, it's a relative or non-relative, someone equal or not equal, like that, however it is, it's all to be removed. And so by taking shelter of the Lord, then all these things become removed. Goldman, notice here is that it's not that it's always just some outside person. You know, it can be from any quarter, right? Gold. To which Lord should we offer oblations and sacrifice? He that in the beginning created the golden womb, who from the beginning was the supreme Lord of all creation and held the earth and the heavenly planets firmly, right? So, you know, gold is the essence. Gold is the most valuable. So the whole thing is who do we offer this to? It's the supreme Lord, the Hiranyagarbha Asva. He means he is the one that has expanded by breathing out. Hiranyagarbha means all the universes are created. It means Sadashiv, that aspect is the destroyer that Mahavishnu has. Then by breathing in, all the universes are destroyed. But by Hiranyagarbha, by breathing out, they're there. But the point is that you have all the elements, that they're all provided there, that you have all those laws, you do all those things, and then it gives that potency to see that all this can go on. That's Krishna as the maintainer. So we see is that he is the most valuable, and we see also maintained by gold. When you have gold, you know that everything's maintained. So he is the, in other words, the Lord is the gold standard. He's the one you offer everything to. He is the one that gives value to everything and anything. Right? Silver. Through your beauty, I have become beautiful. May the Tuta Vishwadeva distribute you. Go forth, giving light on the path of truth. Look favorably upon the heavenly planets and space. Unite with the priests who keep the Yajnashala. Okay. Yeah. So you're having the sacrifice here, then that, and then those who are offering the sacrifice, those who maintain this, you know, service to the Lord, then, you know, then everything becomes glorious like that. Everything, the ignorance goes away, giving light, truth is there, you know, all, you know, all things in all spaces and time and everything, whatever it is, wherever the situation, everything becomes auspicious by seeing it, everything in the context of yajna. Like that, how you can see here, silver also then represents, we can see the moon, and so then also the mind, how like that, Aniruddha is known for being very beautiful, very attractive, and so then the moon then is, you know, that the mind is always then absorbed in the Lord, and that sacrifice, that then through that, then we're always being absorbed in the Lord, so all this becomes very proper through sacrifice. Copper. The Lord, bright like the sun, copper red, all auspicious, also called Rudra, resides in all directions and expands a thousandfold like the rays of the sun. We approach you to remove our impurities. Footnote 1. The thousand-headed Purusha manifests the three characteristics of Vishnu, the maintainer, Hiranyagarbha, the creator, and Shiva, the destroyer. Oh, Hiranyagarbha, the creator, and Shiva, the destroyer. So Vishnu, the maintainer, Hiranyagarbha, the creator, and Shiva, the destroyer. All these potencies are manifest from him. Through the demigods, Brahma and Shiva are designated the positions to work under the direction of the Lord, right? He's maintaining everything, and he designates the creation of maintenance to the others. Creation and destruction, because that doesn't need to supply goods. You work with goods you already have or destroy goods that are already there. You don't have to supply. Supply is Lord. So therefore, others can be engaged in creation and destruction, but maintenance can only be done with the context of Krishna. Like that. You can't do it otherwise. You know, you think I'm going to manage and maintain. No, unless it's done in context of Krishna, won't maintain. Then you're just managing. That's what Brahma does. Or if you don't manage properly, you'll destroy. Here, the Supreme Lord is being addressed in this aspect of Shiva, auspiciousness, as in this mood. He can remove our misconceptions due to false ego, right? Because that means that's the whole point, is that Sarashiva, then he's the one who deals with the false ego of the living entity, how they go from thinking I'm the servant to the Lord to thinking I'm the controller and enjoyer. So when the creation is there, the glance of Lord, the Lord, then brings the living entities, but also brings Sarashiva, that it's that glance of false ego. And so then what reflects back, that will be then the pure thing of understanding that, no, I'm the sole servant of the Lord. I understand the spiritual platform, right? And so that's a very solid basis for spiritual development, spiritual life. But if not, then what enters in, and that'll be Shambhu, who then will interact with the material energy, and then our identity and all that will be absorbed in the material energy. Right? The poetic language of the Vedas is written as such, so that those with faith is firm in the modes of passion and ignorance will think these descriptions as referring to the demigods. In actuality, the Vedas only speak of the Supreme Lord and his activities, manifested through his incarnations, devotees, and unlimited potencies. Right? Right. So then, so then here is using the term Rudra, but then like this is that bright like the sun, because the knowledge of the relationship with the Lord, like that, all auspicious, because he's no Shiva. Because if you give up the false ego and identify as servant to the Lord, you see yourself as the servant of the Lord, that's when all auspiciousness begins for the living entity. Like that, because they see themselves separate from the body, that their soul, so the platform of Vijnana Maya, then they start, it becomes auspicious at that time. Before that, you can say it's auspicious from the material platform. By your arrangements around you, it's auspicious, but it only becomes auspicious for the soul when they understand the position of the soul, the Lord, and their relationship with him, and how the material energy is then engaged in the service. Then you can take that pious aspect of auspiciousness and connect it with the spiritual aspect of auspiciousness. That then brings you to the transcendental position. Gilam. How are we doing here? The time. Okay. Let the alert mind enjoy the ghee. Let the Lord start the sacrifice. Let the Lord bestow a sacrifice free from fault. Let the lords of the universe and sacrificer enjoy here. Please be present here, right? So if the Lord is pleased, you're pleased. So here the enjoyment means that you're happy, you're satisfied, because the Lord's pleased, you're pleased. So therefore, by being engaged in sacrifice, right? So let the alert mind then be able to appreciate the aspect of the ghee being offered in the sacrifice. Right, it's the essence of, you know, the cows are the, you know, most dear to Krishna. They're one of the elements that designate human beings, is that their importance of the cow, and in this case, the importance of the ghee. So the alert mind can appreciate ghee. The unalert mind does not appreciate ghee. So Then we start the sacrifice. We engage. We understand. We take the essence. Right, that saragrahi, take the essence with that, then we begin sacrifice. Then may be free from fault, may there not be any mixes of material desire or, you know, desire for liberation. And that, and so then the Lord being he enjoys, then everybody else will enjoy. So please be here to accept the sacrifice. Mir. Lord Krishna is the color of a new rain cloud. Therefore, he is compared to a transcendental cloud full of eternity, bliss, and cognizance. He is the original and supreme person. He is the origin of all activities and the one and only Lord of all. He is the worshipful Lord of the best of demigods, the controller of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Krishna is without any beginning. Whatever auspiciousness is found within or beyond this universe, the devotee obtains in Krishna alone. Right, so he's eternity, knowledge, and bliss. He's the original person. All activities that you see that are performed by living entities, then those he's the source of all that. There isn't anything that's not from there. So it's just a matter of what's your consciousness and why you're doing it, what your intent, that then gives it that an auspicious character or an inauspicious character. But point is it all comes from him. So therefore, him being the all-glorious person, and he's controlling everyone, even Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, because it's from his expansion that Vishnu has come to perform these activities, then, you know, even though it's him, it's by his desire that feature is there. And so whatever is beyond, I mean, Krishna is beyond everything, but whatever can be gained by the devotee is gained to Krishna, not by any other means. You can try other means, but they'll all give temporary results. But when you do everything in relationship to Krishna, then everything becomes wonderful, becomes auspicious, perfect. Right? So you see is here is that you have the spiritual world and you have the reflection in the material world. So if you always are looking at the person, the original person, you're unaffected by the reflection. Fragrant oil. The devotees continuously see the supreme abode of Lord Vishnu, who, like the sun in the sky, spreads his influence and blessings everywhere. Right, so that the sun in the sky, then its effulgence everywhere. You see also then the fragrant oil, you know, its influence is spread everywhere. It's a very nice smell, and it gives so many nice blessings and all that. So the devotees always see the Lord, and because of that, they're able to spread their influence and blessings everywhere and give that to others like that. Turmeric. You are the three steps of Vishnu, golden-hued, fleet as birds, carriers of the man who endeavors, are the horses yoked to the chariot of the sun. Right. So we see that purity, because what's happening here is that Vishnu appoints pastimes. He's purifying Bali Maharaj and the situation there by his full surrender to the Lord, and also purifying any concepts that even though the Lord may be small, that he's limited by the material energy. You know, that he's okay just coming from the goodness and therefore then controlled by the modes of nature. But then that means that if he's the supreme and he's the Lord of sacrifice, he's controlled by the mode of goodness. Who controls goodness? You know, they don't get into these things. And if you say Maya controls, but Maya comes from the living entity being overwhelmed by these things. So where does this thing? At the same time, Brahman is everything. So it's just a mishmash of whatever sounds good to them so they can. In other words, Vishnu is only that position. I'm a person, you know, being a person is really annoying. So I want to go beyond that. But at the same time, as Vishnu is the supreme person, so I can become the supreme person by thinking I am that supreme person. And then this way, and then I'll go beyond. But the thing is then why don't they call themselves as Brahman? Why do they call themselves as Narayan? You know, so they just want to keep which parts they like. In other words, it's all Maya, but they don't mind people respecting them and giving them facilities and all benefits that are there. They don't mind that because they're Narayan. But at the same time, as if they're already Narayan, all this is working. Why is it they need to give up Narayan? Why is it that there's more? And if therefore all this is illusory, why are they involved in the illusion? You know, if they say that we're just helping the people, but how do you help? How do you, you can't remove blood on your hands with blood. So you can't remove material with material. Yeah. But if you say, no, but I've become Narayan, but the point is you say Narayan's also material. So then it's all nonsense. They couldn't become successful as a materialist. So now they want to become well known and get all prestige and facility by becoming a spiritualist. Right? Like that. So the point is then we're freed from all these kind of misconcepts and all that. And that, you know, so man who endeavors are the yokes, horses yoked to the chariot of the sun. So the thing is you have to endeavor. You have to make that endeavor. That's what makes everything well. That then carries the offering. cloth. Right? And then we also see is the sun then gives knowledge to the chariot of the sun. Then he goes around on his in his course of duties, that way giving light everywhere. So by making that endeavor to serve the Lord and please the Lord, then we're able to give these nice things to everybody else. Cloth. He comes well clothed and youthful with sacred thread. Being twice born, he is the best and most attractive. The wise men desiring the Lord, meditating on him with their minds, are raised up to knowledge. Right, so cloth, then being absorbed in the Lord. So it's well clothed and youthful with sacred thread. You know, well clothed, yeah. He is the best and most attractive. So being absorbed in the Lord and how he's dressing nicely and how he's absorbed, you know, nicely in his pastimes and everything with the devotees, then this becomes very, very wonderful. This, then we are raised up to knowledge and all that. So we see here is that it's talking about, yes, it's about cloth, but it's about he who is dressed nicely, absorbed in him. That's how you're going to do. So this one, I think, where they talk about the Lord's cloth, but it's only about the cloth. Oh, Krishna must be wearing, you know, blue, you know, Wrangler blue jeans or something like that, you know, because, you know, they're so nice and I'm so attached to them and they're so fabulous and they're best pants in the three worlds. And so therefore, because of the best, Krishna must be wearing them also. Otherwise, if he doesn't wear them, then I'm wearing them, then I must be in the Maya. I can't be in Maya because I'm so fabulous. My mother has always told me that. And so therefore, then, you know, he has to wear pants. But it's not about Krishna. They're not talking at all about Krishna. All they're talking about their attachment to their pants. That's it. They're not talking about how beautiful Krishna is dressed the way he is. They're talking about how important it is that how he's dressed is then, you know, has to be how I want to dress. In other words, Krishna, I'm so fabulous, Krishna would naturally want to dress how I would want to dress. Or I'm so fabulous in the way I'm dressing because it's how Krishna dresses. And so how I am, I'm going to be accepted how I am because I'm already fabulous because Krishna already does these things. But it's not about Krishna. It's completely self-centered. Otherwise, why then, you know, say, you know, we're Westerners and, you know, we can't do all these things. So they just say we're Malechas and Yavanas and all that. And, you know, uncultured and all this rather than no, we're cultured. We come from America, the best country in the world and all that. And, you know, no, this is not the point. The point is about the person who's wearing the cloth, the person who takes the three steps, who has the purification like turmeric, the person who spreads this influence and everything everywhere like the fragrant oil. You know, that person who the reflection of him is the material world. And so how we focus on the original person, that's there. You know, that person who is the essence of everything and it is the offering, is the method and all that, you know, is the light of the lamp, you know, is the nature, the potency of copper, silver, and gold and their values and how, you know, he is the one who has all these good qualities and all that. You know, so that's the whole point is that he's the person, you know, gives the power to the mustard seeds, to the rochana, to the cudgel, to the conch, to the sindur, to the swastik, to the yogurt, the fruit, the ghee, you know, the flowers, the rice paddy, all these different aspects. He's the one that's there. They're all coming from him. It's all coming from there. So it's just different various features of him to create a very nice environment. So there's all this variety, all these very nice things. That way, then in so many things we do, we have all these nice purifying things that are there in our life. And we can remember Krishna through these things because they come there. So whenever you use a mirror, instead of it's being about yourself, it's about the Lord. Whenever there's fragrant oil, it's about how his fragrance goes up, how he pervades his knowledge, his glory pervades everywhere. When you're putting on cloth, how he's the most beautiful and that he dresses so nicely for the devotees. Does that make sense? So it's not just about, okay, these are auspicious, we do that as part of the ritual. But the point is these things are all part of our regular everyday life. If you're living a pious life, if you're not, then yeah. Not necessarily. Thread. A cotton thread dyed in turmeric and sindur should be tied around the wrist of the... Oh, this is before. Okay. I was thinking. Funny translation. So thread. A cotton thread dyed in turmeric and sindoor should be tied around the wrist of the groom 9 times by a Vaishnava Brahmana. Oh, okay. So that's why you see sometimes the Hindu wallahs, you know, who are into their Hindu Binduness and they have the threads on their wrist, you know. Then, but sometimes you see they have one of them is really, really big and thick, not me. So there's so many threads. So that must be coming from a wedding like that. Because normally you only go around 3 times, you know, before you're doing other things. But for the wedding, then it says here 9 times. So then either they do for all those close people or the, you know, the close ones, or that person who has one of those then, you know, just got married, you know, recently. By Vaishnava Brahman, because we'll see is that you see is that the all the base we're dealing with all these Vedic verses here, and you see is that they're, you know, talking about the Lord. It has that indirect aspect, but you know, some of them are quite direct. But then the Vaishnava, it's about bringing that out, because in the wedding ceremony you'll see that these things go, they're all very directly connected to how they serve the Lord. Okay. A married woman with children should tie a thread around the bride's wrist 7 times. While tying, they should chant the following mantras. Right? So this is being tied, chanting the mantra goes. The thread is tied, and then the footnote, the thread is tied on the men's right wrist and a woman's left wrist. For a man, the right side of the body is considered auspicious, and for the woman, the left side is auspicious. The procedure of tying the thread to the wrists of the beneficiaries is also applicable in other samskars whenever the adivas is performed. Right? So then that would be the position. So it seems that with the yajaman, then you can get, you know, have it tied more, you know, specifically weddings. But otherwise, if you're the yajaman, you're the one that's about, then, you know, these things that's tied. And then others that are there, if you're doing big ceremonies, then if it's tied on your wrist 3 times or that means you're following vrata during the length of that sacrifice. So you don't go up there to just get the thread so it can be cool that you have the thread and yeah, you're part of the scene. Having the thread means that during the days of that sacrifice, however long it is, if it's just for that short time that's being done, or if it's going on for days, you have to be following very nicely all the rules of purity and everything, and not being distracted too much by what's going on around you, but being focused on the sacrifice. That's what it means. It's not just a thing on your wrist. Okay. How are we doing? 58. Okay. Let us put on the descendant of Asmarati among strings. Pure, sinless, auspicious, made by Adita, the man god, the sky, the earth. Right? So then you have the strings, so that, you know, and here's the thread. So you have all the strings, but it also can be referring to the Brahman thread. And so the descendant marks all this, and so, or it could be also these, you know, these nice colored threads, because you're putting the you're dyeing in turmeric, so it's yellow, and then the sindoor, so either you have a very long thread and you have it in a bundle, so like say one side of it you put in the turmeric and the other side you put into the kumkum, so you get red and white, so when you tie it then it keeps changing colors as it goes around. So then, you know, then all these has come from, you know, it has an origin. So string has an origin, because with string you could do so many things. The Brahman thread is there, the cloth for wearing for the sacrifice, you know, how Krishna dresses so nicely. All these things then therefore come from the Lord. Yeah. Then again, on Tad Vishnu, the devotees continuously see the supreme abode of Vishnu, who like the sun in the sky spreads his influence and blessings everywhere. Right, so then you're going to see about you know, that abode, the sky. They can see the Lord just like they can see, you know, we can see the sun in the sky. They're able to see the Lord in everything. And Krishna Vai Satchidananda, then Lord Krishna, the color of the new rain cloud, how he's very attractive and all that. So the whole point is that the thread is the basis for all these different kind of aspects. You know, the Brahman thread then also means then that aspect of knowing, understanding Brahman, following the practices of serving the Supreme Brahman. All these different wonderful things come from this aspect, that connection to the Lord. Okay, we're good. Yeah. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.